Hey everyone. Okay, let me know in the chat room if you can see and hear me okay. Appreciate everybody's enthusiasm in the chat room tonight. This is great. Got to straighten up my hair, what's left of it. Anyway, let me know if you can see and hear me okay. We're a couple of minutes early just because I feel like it. And we are 5x5. All right, thank you very much, everyone. So much easier when we have the chat room operating just to make everything happen real time and make it smooth and easy. So tonight, I'd like to talk about prayer right off from the beginning here, but we are going to also do a continuation from Sunday in discussing from particle physics, D-wave. D-wave in so far as where that label comes from in particle physics, and therefore why it's been assigned or adopted as the name of the quantum computer company, D-wave Systems. And of course, we talked about the Delta variant on Sunday, Delta variant. So we're looking at pulling those together, and I just wanted to kind of tie that up, a few loose ends, talking more on the particle physics end of it. But what we were talking about on Sunday was not only the Delta variant as it results in the Delta wavelength, the waveform, the frequency and wavelength of the Delta wave within the human brain, as measured by wave and an electroencephalogram, and that is essentially where an infant's brainwave activity is predominated by that delta wave. Up to about 5 years of age, children operate predominantly at the delta wave level. And it is my conclusion, not really conjecture, but conclusion, that the intent here by Satan and his minions is by way of these vaccines and the technology contained within it, including biocomputing and through quantum entanglement, is to shift the brain wave activity down to the delta wave level. And I think this is emblematic and being telegraphed to us by way of the Delta variant. Now, I know there's a new variant that I posted today that is called Lambda, okay? And we'll get into that on Thursday. But I want to tie up the loose ends on the Delta wave variant and D-wave, because these are all working together. These are the deeper definitions of Delta. These are the deeper spiritual connotations of Delta beyond just the microbiology, but all the way to the spiritual. And when you shift the brain down to the delta wave level, that's what I sort of euphemistically or simplistically refer to as the brainstem level of thinking. There's no prefrontal cortex critical thinking. There's no cerebellum critical thinking, independent thinking. It's just pure instinctual thinking. It's not really thinking at all. And it puts people to sleep, quite literally, okay? So, with that in mind, we are going to talk about ferritins, not ferrets, but ferritin. What is ferritin? We have a patent to share with you tonight that we won't do a deep dive on, but we'll at least read through the abstract and I'll take it apart and translate it for you. In short, ferritin is a protein that enhances the affinity of red blood cells to oxygen. In other words, the ability for iron to bind to oxygen within the red blood cells. Obviously critical, okay? Anemia is something that can become very dangerous, okay, to your overall health. And ferritin as well, ferritin protein, we'll get into that. But the application here tonight, specifically in the discussion of ferritins, is mind control. which we talked about on Sunday with regard to the alteration to the, of the spin of entangled electrons within the human brain and within the entire body, in fact, through entanglement with the electrons and the alteration of their spin within quantum computer qubit chipsets. The control by way of entanglement, the control of humans by quantum computers that are entangled with the electrons of the human body and specifically with the brain. And this shifts the brain down to the delta wave length and frequency that I call the brainstem level. Okay? So that's a quick recap from Sunday and an indication of where we're going tonight. I'd like to read the entire chapter of James chapter 5. I have an excerpt that I'm going to put up that's been up, but I'll put it up again. Chapter 5, verse 8, verse 16. The prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and go to the entire chapter of James, chapter 5. But to preface this, Kathleen and I have said for over 4 years now, the most powerful weapon system on the planet is prayer. When we examine the delta variant, when we look at D-wave physics, we look at D-wave in the quantum computers, we look at the vaccines, we look at the quantum dots, we look at biocomputing, we look at all of these things, and it's no wonder that people can walk away shaking their head. Even those of us here that are born again, that are Christians, that are saved through the sacrifice and salvation of Jesus Christ and his defeat of death, which is really the most important aspect to the good news of the gospel, is the defeat of death. Defeat of death when you're alive. Defeat of death as with Jesus Christ in that he arose following death on the cross. It's too easy to walk away and feel like, I'm just gonna throw my hands up. What can I do? I'm one person. People talk about lawsuits. People talk about, you know, overthrowing of governments and throwing leaders in jail and all that. It's not gonna happen because it's destined. We look at scripture, we look specifically at the book of Revelation. We know all these things. Our Lord has told us, when you see these, look up because your redemption draws nigh. That means he is soon to return. So it isn't a time to throw up our hands in futility and say, gosh, there's nothing I can do about this. As Kathleen has so often said, we can make things difficult for Satan and his minions. Though they may have some degree of very short-lived perceived success in their mind, in their perspective, success. But Jesus has said that he would cut short the days. Otherwise, no man would survive. He has the ability to stop time. He has the ability to stop their agenda, to stop short their plans. When they project figures of what's going to happen in 2023, 2024, 25, and 2030, and 2050, and these are very common dates that get thrown around in a lot of venues regarding a lot of agenda items. Forget about them. The time is so short that their plans will not achieve full fruition, okay? How can I say that? Because Revelation says that. Because our Lord says that. And we know that this pandemic, in its most insidious form, beyond even enslavement of humanity down to the serf class level of brainstem thinkers, even deeper than that, is depopulation. And taking that even further is the damnation of souls to hell for all eternity. That's what this is all about. Too many people stop at the depopulation agenda. Too many people do not understand the enslavement. Too many people do not even consider the souls of those that are killed and the souls of those that survive. For in the final analysis, this is all about destruction of the soul. Our bodies are here only for a brief time. It's the destiny of the soul that is most important to Satan and to God and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. James 5, verse 1. A warning to the rich. Come now, you who are rich, weep and wail over the misery to come upon you. Your riches have rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and consume your flesh like fire. You have hoarded treasure in the last days. Look, the wages you withheld from the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You've condemned and murdered the righteous who did not resist you. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer awaits the precious fruit of the soil, how patient he is for the fall and spring rains. You too, be patient and strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Do not complain about one another, brothers, so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience and affliction, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. See how blessed we consider those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance, and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or earth or by any other oath. Simply let your yes be your yes and your no, no, so that you will not fall under judgment. Is any one of you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, consider this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death